Exciting, exciting stuff. Just to let you know, because we don't know, the staff, when we're going to have another pastor, we're planning. So I just want you to know that. We're planning all the way through Christmas. So we're moving forward. We have all kinds of great things in store. Some things are yet to be in place, but our staff, we all meet every week and do some brainstorming and prayer together. And so I just want you to know that fall is coming. In a few weeks, we have our fall kickoff. That's going to be on the 18th of September. So we're looking forward to that. It'll be a big barbecue day. You'll be hearing more about that. So that's September 18th. And we've got lots of other things. We've got a play that's in process, a Christmas play. There's a women's event coming up in November. And so there's lots and lots of great things. And so, yeah, we're in a great place. Can you say amen to that? Come on. Come on. I'm telling you, we're in a great place. All right. We are going to be looking at praise and worship today, one of my favorite subjects. And we're going to talk about how praise and worship makes a difference in our lives. And it's an interesting title, you might see. Swing easy and enjoy the distance. Don't worry. It'll make sense here in a few minutes. Will you stop and pray with me for a moment? I think I need that. Lord, we just love you today, and we thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, as we look into your word today, just want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us, speak in our minds, speak in our spirit, in our hearts, and Lord, that we could walk away today a little closer to you, and so getting to know you a little bit better. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. All right. So, praise and worship. So many of you talk to me quite regularly how much our worship times mean to you when we're playing music. And I think it's great. I think our team is fantastic. They're all in it for the right reasons. We are definitely united as we're singing together. And many of you talk about how you're able to express yourself to the Lord in just really great, special ways. And so I always appreciate you guys talking to me about that. And the great thing to me is most of the time you're not talking about, oh, that was a great guitar solo, or, oh, that was a great vocal, or, wow, the drummer is so great, even though they are. Yes, the drummers are great. We are blessed. But you talk about actually the experience of worship, and that's what's so great. Now, some of you might think, and I've ran into several of you over the years, and there might be even some in this room, you think, wow, this is not nice music, but you guys sure do a lot of music. And, you know, you sing the songs, you get through the songs, and then we're all done, and you sit down, and you go, okay. And thinking of, you know, there's times that we do a night of worship where it's almost all music, and you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of music. You know, well, I want to talk to you today as well. I want to talk to you today about why singing together, why just the words worship and praise can mean so much to each of us as believers in Jesus Christ, and how it can help us in our daily lives. So I want to speak to you guys as well. And so I'm going to start with understanding the difference between praise and worship. Now, throughout the Bible, the commands to praise the Lord are too numerous to mention. They're all over the place. I'm not going to read a whole bunch of them. There's angels and the heavenly hosts commanded to praise the Lord in Psalm 89, Psalm 103, Psalm 148. All inhabitants of the earth are instructed to praise the Lord, Psalm 138, Romans 15:11. We can praise him with singing, Isaiah 12:5, Psalm 9:11 with shouting, Psalm 33:1, 98:4 with the dance. Don't see a lot of that around here, but Psalm 150, verse 4, and with musical instruments, 1 Chronicles 13:8, Psalm 108:2, Psalm 150, 3 through 5. It also talks about something outside of music where our bodies are to be a living sacrifice in the book of Romans. And it talks about it's our spiritual service of worship. So it's how we live. That's also part of worship. Okay, so it's not just about singing and music, even though God has created this incredible vehicle for us to do that. Okay, and so when I talk about shouting, dancing, singing out loud, some of you might think, well, that's not me. That's just not who I am. Well, that's okay. It's all right if you feel that way, because we're all different, that's for sure. And I know this, that God will speak to you in light of how he has created you. So when he does speak to you in your life, it's going to be in how he has designed you. He's not going to speak to you in a way that is totally foreign to how you're made. He's going to speak to you in the things that you relate to. And it's that way with worship as well. But I need to say this. I am amazed at the things that I will do in terms of either shouting or jumping. God bless you. Shouting or jumping or, you see me do it once in a while when I get excited. But when it comes to Jesus Christ and who he is and who he has been in my life, it gets me excited. Now, sometimes it's jumping up and down. Sometimes it's weeping. Sometimes it's just bowing down. Sometimes I'm just still. But that's knowing Jesus in a personal way, and praise and worship. Praise and worship is, it's all about relationship. And I want to talk to you about that today. So praising God is simply giving him the recognition he deserves. It's very simple. God is great. And we're going to find that out here in Psalm 96. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So when we're talking about praise, it's because he's great. And we're simply giving him the honor that he deserves. That's praise, okay? Now, if we're talking about worship, the Hebrew word for worship is shikah. And its primary meaning is to bow down, or the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. So worship comes from a different place within our spirits. Worship should be reserved for God alone. Because if you think about it, praise, even though it is different praising God, we can praise our kids for something good they do, or maybe a character trait that we see in them. We can praise other people who do good things. And then we praise God for who he is. And that's certainly the utmost in praise. But worship is reserved for God alone. Okay? And really, praise is easy. It's easy to praise the Lord. Because you're just recognizing him for who he is, what he's done, those kinds of things. And so we come in and when we're singing, we praise him, you know, or even throughout your day. I just praise you, Lord. You're great. You know, you might even just do that in your mind. You might just kind of whisper that sometimes. That's easy. Worship isn't so easy. Worship gets to the heart of who we are, okay? So, And the thing about worship is we must be willing to humble ourselves before God. We need to surrender every part of our lives to his control. We adore him for who he is, not just for what he has done. Now, that's why I say it's not so easy, because it really is a stepping back. It really is looking at where we are in our lives, okay? It's not so easy as praise. We're needing to humble ourselves, and that's usually not an easy task. And so for some of us, what I'm talking about, when I talk about worship, it seems kind of intense, and you're kind of not at that place. So that's okay. That's okay. Just stay with me today. Stay with me today, because worship can be so, so great in your life, and it's something that you just absolutely value, okay? So remember also, worship's also a lifestyle. It's not just singing, okay? And it's not just an occasional activity. Worship is an attitude. It's a way of thinking. It's when we think of God, it's an attitude in our lives, okay? And in John 4:23, it says that the Father is seeking those who will worship in spirit and in truth. So that's just a little bit of background on praise and worship, okay? Now, like many of you, take a little turn here, I enjoy sports. And in my life, I've played all kinds of sports, as many of you know, and I know lots of you who have played lots of sports. And I played basketball in high school, and there's baseball, track and field, football, racquetball, tennis. I mean, I love all that stuff. And I used to play it all the time, not so much anymore. But anymore, I pretty much am relegated to playing golf, and which is great. But I got to say that golf is the most confounding sport I've ever had to play. And the reason is it's so counterintuitive to every way that I've played any sport. And, you know, when you're not doing very well in a sport, it's usually about trying harder. It's usually about, okay, if I can just give extra effort. But in golf, it's the opposite. You have to do the opposite of that and just really pull back. And all sports take concentration, but golf takes it to a whole new level. And I first started to play golf on a fairly regular basis when I moved to Medford. That was 18 years ago. And I was horrible at golf. I had played occasionally up to that point, but I mean, I was terrible. And I don't know if he's here today, but Chuck Gritness, who is an excellent golfer, he texted me once after we had played, and basically his text said, "Newsflash, Roger Huntley breaks 100. Now, 100 isn't very good, but that's where my golf game was. And so he meant that actually as an encouragement. So when I want to hit the ball farther, instead of swinging harder, I got to relax. Every time I play with one of my friends, Randy Eek, the first thing he says on the tee box, "Roger," I look at him, he says, "80%. I said, okay, Randy. He says, 80%, because I like to swing at 100%. 80%. Okay, Randy, I'll do that. So when I'm not playing well, instead of trying harder, I got to step back, take a deep breath, let my muscles relax. It's not jumping higher. It's not running faster. It's not throwing a ball with velocity. Okay? It's stepping back. And there's a saying that I hear now and then on the golf course, which you saw earlier, which is swing easy and enjoy the distance. Okay? Wow, that is just so counterintuitive for me. And so oftentimes this is how the Christian life plays out. So when we swing easy, when we relax, when we take a step back, when we worship God, which is what we're talking about, when we, and we're going to see this scripture, being still, and when we're knowing Him in a deeper way, the results can be incredible. It's even better than a 300-yard drive, because God is doing the swinging, okay? God is doing the swinging. And I began to think about people in the Bible who had extremely difficult situations, okay? And they stopped, they relaxed, they turned to God in praise and worship in those trying times. Now, of course, we have to start with King David, one of my favorite guys. As he was being hunted like a criminal by King Saul, you know, he repeatedly stopped and sought the Lord, and some of his most well-known worship songs he wrote during these incredibly difficult times where he stopped and he sought the Lord and he worshiped and he wrote down these lyrics. So beautiful. The Apostle Paul, who once was arrested and while in jail, you know, it doesn't say that the Apostle Paul shook the bars and said, "Let me out! Let me out!" It doesn't say he did that. It says that he and Silas sang praises. And on this instance, an earthquake took place. And the jailer and his family were saved. And it was a mighty thing. But in a very, very difficult situation, he stopped. He pulled back. And he worshiped. Jehoshaphat. Everybody say that with me. Jehoshaphat. One more time. Jehoshaphat. Thank you so very much. It's a wonderful word. In 2 Chronicles 20, when confronted with a vast army coming against him, he had some prophets come to him and he listened. And he bowed down and worshiped. And he not only did that, he assembled singers of Judah to sing praises before the army of the Lord. And a great victory for Judah was the result. So that's another instance where an incredibly difficult situation, there was praise and worship. You know, and even Job, who's, you know, the king of absolute disaster, his family destroyed, his wealth taken from him, his body wasting away, he stops and proclaims in faith and praise, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Okay? Another instance where incredibly difficult circumstances, he praised, he worshiped God, and his fortunes were doubled in his life. And so authentic praise and worship, again I say authentic praise and worship because it all has to do with the heart, is a powerful thing. And God will move in our lives and in those around us as we draw closer to him in praise and worship. Psalm 46:10, this is what we referred to earlier. "Be still and know that I am God." You know, there is a time to run. There is a time to jump. There's a time to run faster and a time to work hard. And as a believer, without the being still and knowing he is God, it can be a lot of effort for nothing. And the most effective way to experience life change through praise and worship is by a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? And I've been a pastor for many years, getting more by the day, but I'm just like you. I'm no different than you. I was born again at some point in my life, and that was when I was 21. And many of you know my story, and I'm not going to tell you my story today, but I'm no different than you. I began to follow Jesus at that time. I've had ups and downs, but he led me down this road of having a heart to help equip people through how he designed me, just like he uses you through how he's designed you, okay? So he did it through how he made me. I'm a music guy. I have been since I was very, very little. And so that's part of how he has done that. And so in all kinds of creative ways, when there's working with all kinds of people, that's how a lot of the time he has used me in my life. And so I was just a messed up guy who said yes to God. That was that. And over time, he gave me more and more of an understanding of life and its unending problems because they do continue. And for the 100th time, I'm going to say this. If you're going through a difficult time, you know, you'll get past it. You'll get past it. And there's probably one coming after that. So don't get too upset about the one you're in, because that's just life. That's just life. And fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit of God to help us to overcome. Can you say amen to that? Yes. Okay. So he gave me more of an understanding over time of who he is and who he made me to be. And in light of those two things, understanding who God is and understanding who he's made you to be and me, we will learn more and more about getting our minds off ourselves and our problems and how to help other people. And it all comes out of relationship with Christ. Now, for a moment, I'd like to focus on one of my favorite people of the Bible. It's one of our greatest examples of having a relationship with God and swinging easy and enjoying the distance. Now, this is Moses. Moses. Now, the example of imperfection is Moses. He did lots of things that we wouldn't think a person of his stature would do. That's usually the case in the Bible. Lots of imperfect people. And we're all grateful for that. And he was the example of pick someone else. He was constantly saying to the Lord, I can't speak well, use my brother. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. What are you asking me for? I have no idea why you want me to do this. But God doesn't throw him away. God knew his heart, and that's what he always sees, is the heart. And so one of my all-time favorite scriptures is Exodus 33:11, which is, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. The first time I ever read that, I remember reading it, and I thought to myself, if I can do that, if I can be God's friend, I think the rest will take care of itself. And by and large, yeah, that's proved to be true in my life. It's a constant process of getting to know God better, but I always wanted to be his friend, and I wanted him to be my friend. And I've had lots of great examples of that around me in my life. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And Moses became a man of great faith and a man of praise and worship through relationship. Now, when Moses left Egypt the first time, he was 40 years old. He was 80 when he left the land of Midian. He was 120 when he died. And so by the time he raises his hands over the Red Sea, he's got a pretty good relationship with God. But it's taken a long time. Okay, and let's look at Exodus 14:13. It says this, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be what? Still. To be still. So in this instance, it was a matter of being still. Now, I'm going to skip to verse 21. It won't be on the screen, but it says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind, and he turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Now, that's a 300-yard drive. That's a home run. That's a home run, because God's doing the swinging, okay? And what a great, great moment in history, a moment that we constantly look back on. And when I read the scripture about God being my friend, again, it was like a singular goal. I wanted to know God. I wanted to get to know him. And so it took time of prayer, of getting into his word, of singing songs to him, writing songs for me. That's what I would do, write different songs of praise and expressing myself to him. So in your life, if you want your life to change, if you want to make a difference in this world, become a person of relationship with God. Become a person who praises and worships God as a regular part of your life. Become a friend of God. It's not how many scriptures you got memorized or that you can quote to everybody. That's a good thing. I always think always got to be careful that we don't throw the word at people that it's in love. And that the word of God, I'll tell you this, the closer you get to Jesus, and many, many of you know this, the closer you get to Jesus, it's all about love, and that these scriptures, they mean so much to you, and it's not a matter of always having to quote the scriptures, it's living them out. It's living them out, and that you become a living Bible to people because of the love that God is doing in your life. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. So, got one more sports analogy for you, and that'll be the last one. So, to develop a consistent swing, you got to practice and practice a correct golf swing. It becomes an automatic swing after time. It's called muscle memory, and it becomes your natural swing. You do it over and over and over and over again. Or when a football running back, they run through the tires, you've probably seen them or done that yourself, and they're supposed to lift their knees up high so that when they're running through the line and people are trying to tackle them, they've done this so many times that it becomes muscle memory and that they're able to shed blockers, okay? They're lifting those knees up high. It's muscle memory. It's the same with a tennis stroke, you know, over and over and over again. So to be a person of praise and worship, it takes regular times in the Word of God, daily time with Jesus. I'm never afraid to say daily because some people might think, well, that's overwhelming to me. I don't hardly get into the Word at all now. But daily is no big thing. It's only a few minutes a day, and you just set that for your life. Over time, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed at what God is doing in your life. Now, what I'm talking about is called God consciousness. And that means that through your day, you don't forget about God because you're consistently praising and worshiping Him. You're in the Word. You're praying. That means throughout the day, your thoughts go to Him a lot. And that when a problem comes up, you pray. My mother-in-law this morning was at my house, and she has not been feeling well at all. She had a real spell last night, and so our first thought, we're going to pray. So we did, and that's just part of life. That's part of God consciousness. As so many of you, when I look around, I know so many of you are just awesome worshipers. You're awesome people who have God consciousness. Okay, so let's just make this really easy. I mean, I can go through all kinds of definitions and all kinds of words, but they can be just words. Praise and worship, again, is relationship, pure and simple. It's just you talking with God. It's singing to God. It's not complicated. We have wonderful lyrics to these songs we sing because they're all biblically based, if not actual scripture. And so it's wonderful. You can just sing those out. You can talk those out, thanking Him for your life, laying your issues out there, even sometimes when you're worshiping. Help me, God. Help me to become a better person. I love you. I worship you. Just be you and be humble before God, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And King David knew it. Moses knew it. Paul knew it. Peter knew it. John knew it. Esther knew it. Ruth knew it. All these people in the Bible, they knew about worshiping God. Now, thing is, I just began to think of all kinds of people here. I started to write a whole bunch of names down. I thought, oh, I'm going to leave tons of people out. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to bring up one person today, and I don't even know if they're here. Lloyd Erb, wherever you are today. Are you here, Lloyd? He's going to say, don't talk about me. Okay, I know. You don't want me to talk about you. I'm going to anyway. Lloyd joins us every Thursday morning, and you can join us too, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, And the pastors are there, Val, our creative arts director is there. And we have other people that we just gather, usually in the chapel. If it's not in the chapel, it'll be out here in the foyer. And so Lloyd is there every week. Lloyd is always so positive and always good with a one-liner, always good with a joke. But I'll tell you something. Lloyd worships the Lord. And when he worships the Lord, it's so inspiring to me. And I get to see it every week. Because he'll just cry. He'll just worship the Lord and cry. You know, and because God means so much to him. And then when he prays, oh, it's just beautiful. You know, and he's just one person in our congregation. And I could point out so many of you that are the same way. And it's just, see, it's not just for him. He doesn't do it so that he's, you know, you don't really do it for your own benefit. You do it because of how great God is. But also, he has an effect on other people. He has an effect on me. And he helps me to stay clear, to help to see things in the right perspective. All right. Now, a lot of us in this room, we get discouraged sometimes. We get defeated sometimes. Some of you struggle with depression. And you might struggle with relationships at times. And really, the antidote for that is praise. Praise and worship, but really, because praise, even though I said it's easy, it's you're declaring how great God is. You're declaring it even in the midst of extremely difficult moments. And it's a wonderful thing. And a lot of us are lacking in joy, not because of a temperament that is prone towards being pessimistic, but we're lacking in joy because we're not focusing on the Lord. We're not praising and worshiping him daily. And a lot of people try to blame it on temperament or personality traits. And I'm not saying those things aren't real. It's a challenge for everybody, some worse than others. I totally get that. I just want you to know that. I'm not diminishing that fact. I'm not diminishing that at all. But no matter who you are, no matter who you are, everyone is to praise the Lord. Everyone is to praise the Lord. And you say, really? And I say, yes, because Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when we praise God, it means we're rejoicing in him. We don't worship for us. We worship because of who God is, but it's so healthy for us. Now, never underestimate the power of praise and worship. It's going to help you to have proper perspective, which is huge, in life. Proper perspective. Psalm 73, this is a great one. 16 and 17, I'm almost done. When I tried to understand all this, the psalmist writes, it troubled me deeply. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Now, the psalmist couldn't understand some of the perplexities in life. He couldn't understand why wicked people were prospering. And he was really stressing over this and wondering about it and worrying about it. But what changed? It's when he entered the sanctuary of God. It's when he went to that place of worship and he began to see with a proper perspective. So when you have a proper perspective, it does all kinds of things for you. It helps you to have inner peace. It helps you to make wise decisions. Helps you to appreciate those you love. Helps you to love the unlovely. It helps you to love God more, and it helps you to trust God more. Okay? Proper perspective. Proper perspective. I could go on a huge rabbit trail right now, and I'm not going to, but big picture. We all need the big picture. If you're in a situation, especially with relationships, and something offends you, something offends someone else, so then you're offended for them. Big picture. Big picture. You have to be able to step back from those situations and have proper perspective. It doesn't mean that there's not real pain, but it means what's the proper perspective? How am I going to love through this situation? And that proper perspective is going to come through worship, through an attitude of worship, and through an attitude of who God is. It's a wonderful thing. Now, if I can have the worship team come up, it'd be great. We're going to put this into practice. We're going to worship the Lord together. Now, I want to give you an assignment. You're like, great, great. This is a good assignment. It really is. This is something you guys all can do. You can all do this. If you're not already doing this, I would like you all, and I'm going to check because I'm going to speak in several weeks, and I'm going to come back and go, have you guys been doing with this? I would like you all to read the book of Psalms. Now, that's an easy read, okay? And I would like you to read one psalm a day. Now, there's a few, like Psalm 119, you know, it's like see you tomorrow. It's very long. You don't have to read the whole thing in a day. It's okay. But I would like you all to read through the book of Psalms. And if you run across, just like, sometimes you can see books that just are the Psalms. And that's always really cool. But anyway, let's all read the book of Psalms. And as you read it, as you go through it, the book of Psalms is all about life. It's all about big highs, big lows, and everything in between. But through it all, whoever the psalmist is, they're going to worship God, and they're going to turn their attention to God, and it's a super great practice for us. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. All right, I'm going to go back to Psalm 46:10. And I would like you guys to do this with me. This is be still and know that I am God. Now, I've been talking kind of fast, and I've been talking about slowing down. I've been talking about pulling back, because you guys know that with today's world, more than ever, we're going 1,000 miles an hour. We've got to stop. I would like us to read this super slow. Instead of saying, be still and know that I am God, I would like it to be. So I'll just kind of do this, so then we'll all do it together. We're gonna read it super slow. Ready? Be. Oh, you guys are jumping me. I knew it. Still and know that I am God. Slow it down. Slow it down. Swing easy. Enjoy the distance. Be still and know that He is God. So let's stand up. We're going to sing one more song this morning.